Hey there, future friends. This week, we find the origins of the Antichrist, we get the dirty tea on the royal family, and Super Monkey is a baller. This is the week of April 5th, 2024, and you are listening to episode 308 of Future Flicks with Billiam. All right, my future friends, welcome to the show. I was just looking at my metrics, which is a terrible thing to do because I had almost 500 listens this last week, but only 27 of them were for the new episode. So if you're listening to this and it's not the week it should be, just let me know why. Like, what made you choose this particular episode, if you're listening to this later, versus the current episode? Because this is a current podcast, no reason to go listen to my backlog, though I wouldn't mind if you did, but this really isn't anything that you need to go back and listen to all the others. So yes, this is another week, which means I'm here to talk about all of the movies. There are quite a few this week, so why not just jump into it and let me tell you what the show is about, and then we'll talk about the films. This show is about all the movies coming out during the week, and I break them up into two categories. The first section is the limited release. That's every limited release that did nothing to catch my eye. Doesn't always mean it's going to be bad. It just means that the trailer coupled with who's in it and the premise did nothing to catch my eye. In that section, I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, and who's in it and directs it. Maybe I'll give a thought or two, but that's usually it. After that, we jump into the wide releases and interesting indies, which is exactly what it sounds like. Every wide release, no matter how good or bad it looks, and those indies that did catch my eye. In that section, I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, who's in it and directs it, and then I definitely give you my thoughts on it, and then I give it a score, which I call the Billiam's Interest Level Score, aka the Bill Score. It could go anywhere from a zero for those awful-looking films, for those films that just make me oh so happy to be a movie fan. So let us jump right into the limited section with a movie called The People's Joker. An aspiring clown grappling with her gender identity combats a fascist cape crusader. This stars no one of note and is directed by the star Vera Drew. I'll be perfectly honest about this movie. This looks like a film major's first project. Either that or it looks like something that's going to premiere at an art exhibition. Because this looks bad and campy, but purposefully bad and campy. While I am all here for supporting the LGBTQ community, this movie just doesn't look like it's it. Let's move on to Kim's video. Playing with the forms and tropes of various cinema genres, the filmmaker sets off on a quest to find a legendary lost video collection of 55,000 movies in Sicily. This is a documentary directed by David Redman and Ashley Sabin. And yes, it's about this this video store that used to be in New York that had like bootlegged hard to find movies or something. And then the owner was like, hey, let's make these digital instead of sending them somewhere in the country. Let's send them to Sicily. And I guess they're still there like 20 something years later or whatever. Could be interesting. After that is a movie called Strictly Confidential. A haunted young woman finds herself drawn into a world of seduction, duplicity, and betrayal as she desperately tries to uncover the mystery surrounding her best friend's suicide. This is written and directed by Damien Hurley, who's the son of Elizabeth Hurley. After that is a film called Yannick. In the middle of a performance of the play Le Coq, a very bad boulevard comedy, Yannick gets up and interrupts the show to take the evening back in hand. This is a movie from France, and it's written and directed by Quentin Dupieux, or something like that. He's the director behind Rubber, if you remember that horror movie about the sentient tire. After that is a movie called Model House. This is mixed, limited, release, and VOD. Models staying in a secluded house for the night are terrorized by intruders. So that was the IMDb trailer, but here's what I got from the trailer. Zoe got her first modeling gig, and it looks like her future is getting brighter. She's invited to stay at the model house and live with the other, more experienced models on the shoot. But one night, some intruders break in, and the models better hope that their social media followers drop enough cash. Or else. See, isn't that better? Shouldn't they hire me to write these things? Anyway, this stars no one of note and is written and directed by Derek Pike, and this is his first feature film. Five more films in this section, my friends, and let's talk about A Bit of Light. Ella, at almost 40, is forced to move back in with her father, Alan. She's trying to stay sober, having temporarily given up custody of her young daughters to her ex-husband, Joseph, and his new partner, Bethan. There's a British name if I've ever heard one. This stars Anna Paquin from X-Men, Ray Winston from The Departed, Pippa Bennett-Warner from Harlots, Yusuf Kirkor from House of Gucci, and Luca Hogan in his first role. If you wondered why Anna Paquin was hired as the lead in a movie that takes place in the UK, because this does take place in the UK, it's because this is directed by Stephen Moyer, who is Bill in True Blood, and her husband, and he directed The Parting Glass in 2018, also with Anna Paquin. After that is a movie called Epic Tales. Patty, an ambitious and daring mouse, has big dreams to be an adventurer and a hero. When her homeland in ancient Greece is threatened by Poseidon himself, Patty is determined to save her city. This is an animated movie that doesn't feature any voice actors of note, which I love. Let's give regular voice actors a job, please. And it's co-written and directed by David Alaux, maybe A-L-A-U-X, Eric Tosti, and Jean-Francois Tosti. They all worked on The Jungle Bunch, which if you remember, I talked about The Jungle Bunch back in 2017 or 18 or something. It does look like they're getting better because Epic Tales looks better than The Jungle Bunch because that looked like amazing garbage. But still, this does not look that good. Let's move on to another animated film called Chicken for Linda with an exclamation point. So it's Chicken for Linda. A loving mom, Paulette, who feels guilty after unfairly punishing her daughter, Linda, and would do anything to make it up to her. She sets off to make a chicken with peppers, even though she doesn't know how to cook. So this is an animated feature from France and is directed by Sebastian Laudenbach and Chiara Malta. This could be interesting. The animation style is very ugly, yet purposefully ugly. It looks like a child painted it. This could be worth looking out for. Next up is a movie called The Greatest Hits. This actually looks really good, but it's a limited release this week. It comes out on Hulu next week, so we'll talk about it in detail then. A love story centering on the connection between music and memory and how they transport us, sometimes literally. This stars Lucy Boynton from Sing Street, David Korenswit from Pearl, Justin H. Min from After Yang, Retta from Parks and Rec, and Austin Kroot from Booksmart. So yes, we'll talk about this next week, but it looks like a good movie about grief and also has... It gives me the vibes of About Time. You know, the movie with Bill Nye, Rachel McAdams, and Domhnall Gleeson. Yeah, that film. The final film on this list before we take our break is The Beast. The plot is set partially in the near future in which artificial intelligence is in control of everyone's lives and human emotions are perceived as a threat. This stars Léa Seydoux from Blue is the Warmest Color, George MacKay from 1917, Guslaji Malanda, I think, from St. Omar, and directed and co-written by Bertrand Bonello, who did a movie called Nocturama. This is another one that could be good. It looks like it's going to lean more heavily into the artsy nature of films, but the trailer just didn't really do it for me. All right, my future friends, let's jump into the first and only break as we hear word from our friends at the Somewhat Nerdy Radio Podcast, and We're Doing Fine with Robbie and Lisa. Please stay tuned.
Are you looking for a nerd podcast that touches on every walk of nerd culture? Well, look no further. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is the podcast for you. We cover nerd culture, news, new movie reviews, bad movie reviews, video games, comics, with sprinkles of nerdy nostalgia throughout. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is a flagship podcast of the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast Network. Find us on every podcast app or stream it on somewhatnerdy.com. Good journey, nerds.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Robbie. And we host a show called
We're Doing Fine. We're friends from across the ocean.
I'm from Scotland.
And I'm from California.
Join us every week as we chat about biscuits.
You mean cookies?
Brexit.
Whatever's going on here. Who knows?
Almost dying.
Why we're single.
Popular culture.
And basically everything and anything that can distract us from this postmodern hellscape we're all living in. Because
we're doing fine.
All right, my future friends, we are back with the wide releases and interesting indies. So let's talk about a movie that expands from last week, so I won't go into much detail about it. It's called Wicked Little Letters. Limited release last week, expands this week. Does it expand to nationwide? I don't know. But it's going to expand more, so that's a good thing if you want to see this period piece. When people in Littlehampton, including conservative local Edith, begin to receive letters full of hilarious profanities, rowdy Irish migrant Rose is charged with the crime. Suspecting that something is amiss, the town's women investigate. This stars Olivia Colman from The Crown, Jesse Buckley from Women Talking, Jason Watkins from The Crown, Timothy Spall from Mr. Turner, and directed by Thea Sherrick from Me Before You. So I gave this a 7 out of 11 because it's a period piece and it's a comedy and I like that kind of film. Like I said before, when I saw Mr. Malcolm's List on a plane flying to Wales, I quite enjoyed it so much I kind of want to own it now. There's something fun about period pieces. So if you like those kind of films, keep an eye open for this. The first truly new movie this week is called Girl State. This comes to Apple TV Plus. Follows 500 adolescent girls from all across Missouri as they come together for a week-long immersion in a sophisticated democratic laboratory, where they organize a Supreme Court to consider the most contentious issues of the day. This is a documentary directed by Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss, who directed Boy State, a similar movie, but about boys in Texas. And I think movies like this are important. We need to show young people that it's very important to be into politics. And then we can also see what's important to the young people, because our government right now is just full of a bunch of these old people that are setting policies that are going to affect our grandkids. The more young people we get into politics, or younger people we get into politics, I think the sooner we'll see changes. Girl State looks interesting. However, I think it would also be very angering in the sense that we can see what's important to these young kids and how none of it's getting done. And then also see what can happen when there's no outside influence. Because even with the Supreme Court, we know there's outside influence. But even if the topic is interesting, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to watch a feature-length film about this? And for me, that question is maybe. And for that reason, I give it a 6.5 out of 11. After that, my friends, is a movie called Housekeeping for Beginners. We talked about this before, and it's getting another release. It's called Housekeeping for Beginners. Despite never aspiring to be a mother, Dita finds herself compelled to raise her girlfriend's two daughters. As their individual wills clash, a heartwarming story unfolds about an unlikely family struggle to stay together. This is a movie from Macedonia that was their submission for Best International Feature Film for the 2024 Oscars, though it was not picked. As in, it wasn't even picked for the nomination. But if you want to see this, I did talk about it before, so I won't go into a lot of detail, but it does look good. This looks like a charming story because we have this woman named Dita, and she loses her partner, her girlfriend, and her girlfriend says, hey, can you take care of my kids? And, like, what are you going to say to that? No. Good luck, scrub. No, I ain't going to do that. So she does, and this is a story about an unconventional family, and I think stories like that are still very important, even though in this modern age we're a little more used to them. I still think we need them to be a little more modernized, or, not modernized, but a little more normalized, as it were. Housekeeping for Beginners looks like it's going to be a overall feel-good film, even if it has moments of being a tearjerker and even moments of probably intense family conflict. It does look worth your time if you're into movies like this, like very dramatic, very real movies. And for me, this gets a 7 out of 11. Next up is another documentary called The Antisocial Network, Memes to Mayhem. This is coming out on Netflix. A group of lonely teenagers formed an online community and bonded over their isolation, but their collective beliefs warped reality. This is a documentary about 4chan and Anonymous. So when movies like this come out and say they're about 4chan, I wonder if they realize that 4chan is a huge place. Like, it has a bad rap for being like the cesspool of the internet, but there are huge corners of it about entirely different things, like Magic the Gathering, or Cars, or the movie Cars, probably. I don't know. I haven't been on 4chan in a long, long time. But from what I remember, when people are talking about the seedy nature of 4chan, they're usually probably talking about the not safe for work corners and then B. Anyway, this does kind of look interesting, but of course, do you want to spend your time watching a feature like the documentary about 4chan? I, for one, do not, and it gets a 5 out of 11. Next up is a movie called How to Date Billy Walsh, coming on Amazon Prime. Follows a pair of childhood friends, Amelia and Archie. Archie has always kept his love for her a secret, but just as he builds up the courage to declare his feelings, Amelia falls for Billy Walsh, the new transfer student. Because of course they do. Charithra Chandran from Bridgerton, Sebastian Croft from Heartstopper, Tanner Buchanan from Cobra Kai, Guz Khan from The Bubble, Lucy Punch from A Series of Unfortunate Events, Kunal Nayar from The Big Bang Theory, or, if you like good things, the storied life of A.J. Firkrey, Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead, and directed by Alex Pillai, who's done TV shows like Riverdale, Bridgerton, and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So, 100% basic teen rom-com. We've seen this before. We know how it works. For the most part, even though they could surprise us by the ending, how we get to the ending is what we expect. We have this guy named Archie. He's in love with his friend Amelia. They are both nerds. They get picked on and all that shit. And one day this new student comes in who's super handsome. He's super cool. Everyone loves him. But he's not a jerk like all the other cool kids at the school. So this girl Amelia actually has a chance. And will this cause Archie to run and hide or actually confess his feelings? He's going to confess somehow. And either Billy Walsh is going to turn out to be a twat and break her heart, or he's going to turn out to be a good guy and notice this and push her towards him, or a third option, he's not going to be a bad guy, but she's going to realize she loves her friend. So if you like movies like this, they're easy, they're fun, but they're also forgettable, so check this out if you want. You'll recognize the three main stars if you watch Bridgerton, Heartstopper, and Cobra Kai. They're both notable characters in those shows. And it's interesting seeing Sebastian Croft as a good guy, because his character is a gigantic piece of shit in Heartstopper. So I do like seeing these actors I like in other things get some roles outside of that, and it just gives me hope that we'll see these people again. How to Date Billy Walsh gets a 6.5 out of 11. All right, my future friends, next up we have the last movie from Netflix, and I think this is the last streaming movie in general. Yes, the last streaming movie in general, and that is called Scoop. This is about the BBC and how they obtained the bombshell interview with Prince Andrew about his friendship with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. So, you know, a light topic. This stars Gillian Anderson from The X-Files, Keeley Hawes from High Rise, Billy Piper from Doctor Who, and Rufus Sewell from The Holiday, Dark City, The Illusionist, and A Knight's Tale. He is one of those people that you know him, but you can't always put your finger on it. Maybe you can, I don't know. Once I saw him, I remembered The Holiday, but I forgot Dark City, The Illusionist, and Knight's Tale. This is directed by Philip Martin, who did 7 episodes of The Crown. So we have a very important topic here, because we know that the royal family is kind of trash. We know they did a lot of shit to Meghan Markle that caused Prince Harry to say, you know what, y'all aren't worth it, and leave. Let's be honest, they probably killed Diana, and they did everything in their power to bury the fact that Andrew was involved with this. And if I remember right, there were some sort of allegations against Philip too, so this whole thing is f***ed up. So my question about this film, though, is, are they going to lean into the fact that Prince Andrew did do some heinous shit? I don't think this is going to be a puff piece where they try to humanize Andrew. I sure hope they don't, because Rufus Sewell plays a good bad guy. So I don't think they would have chosen him for this. As a film, this looks good. This gives me the vibes of something like Spotlight or some other thriller of that sort. So I do think this looks good, but I'm just worried about how they're going to present it. So this normally would have gotten a higher score, but because of that question, it gets a 7 out of 11. Future friends, 3 movies left. The first nationwide release of the week is called The First Omen. A young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. This stars Nell Tiger-Free from Servant on Apple TV+, Ralph Ineson from The Witch, Sonia Braga from Kiss of the Spider-Woman, with Charles Dance from Gosford Park and Bill Nye from Underworld. So I have seen some buzz about this. Some people I trust, like the Sunset Loner on TikTok, said they're a little bit excited for this, or at least a little interested, and unfortunately I don't see it. I usually love shit like this. I love me some ghosts and demons and shit like that in my horror. I love it. But this movie just does not interest me. If this is your jam, or if you're a big fan of the Omen series, definitely check this out. Do not let me yuck your yum. But for me, I am just going to skip this and I will see what people think. Kind of like the last Evil Dead movie, Evil Dead Rise. The trailer I thought looked okay, but I wasn't about to go and spend my money in the theater to watch it. And then once so many people said good things about it, then once it came to streaming, I checked it out. I don't think The First Omen is something you need to see on the big screen. I don't think a TV at your house is going to lessen the experience, really. My main issue with the trailer was that it seemed to get a little convoluted. And if the trailer got convoluted, I can't help but wonder what's going to happen with the main film. Couple that with the fact that I've just never seen an Omen movie, and this just did not speak to me. The First Omen gets a 5 out of 11. All right, my friends, the next movie, and the one that's not the pick of the week, is called Parachute. This follows Riley, who has recently been released from rehab after struggling with her addictions to food and body image. She will meet Ethan and finds herself navigating the line between love and a new addiction. This stars Courtney Eaton from Yellowjackets, Thomas Mann from Project X, Dave Bautista from Dune Part 2 and 1, Kid Cudi from X, Francesca Rial from Do Revenge, Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin, and Joel McHale from Community. This is directed by Brittany Snow, who you would know from the Pitch Perfect movies. So this movie is interesting for 2 reasons. First of all, we have seen films that deal with body image and addiction like that, so it's not new in that sense, but they're also very important. It's not like we have an influx or an overabundance of movies about body image, about anorexia or bulimia, or about how we get so obsessed with everything we see online, all these celebrities and influencers and their what I eat in a day and all that shit. We've seen movies like that, but also, once she gets out of rehab, she meets someone new and they kind of hit it off. She's technically not supposed to date. I guess that's one of the rules, but they're just friends. But obviously it becomes more than that because they have this real connection. And this movie is also about his struggle, because even though we can't play the victim when we know someone who has an addiction or a problem, it does affect the loved ones of those people. And I think that's something we do need to recognize too. She is the one with the problem. She is the one that needs help, but she also has someone that loves her that is being affected by it too. And that is worth noting. Because a lot of times in movies like these, we usually have some sort of family member that, you know, just doesn't want to deal with them anymore. And we can tell it's hard for the family. And while things like that are real and they're worth talking about too, it is good to see that in this movie, we have someone that's trying to help her, that is trying his best to keep her okay, but is struggling with it and how hard that is. So yes, this movie does look really well done, especially for one of Brittany Snow's first directorial roles. And it looks like this film has already won awards at film festivals, because Brittany Snow's new picture now is her holding an award. So good for her. And I think this movie looks like it's worth your time. Unfortunately, it is coming to a limited release. But again, with movies like this, if they don't come to your area, this isn't the kind of film that you'd be like, well, I miss it on the big screen, so I've totally missed out. No, it'll be just as fine on your TV at home. So if you don't see this in the theaters, definitely check it out when it comes out. Check the different streaming services, all of them, even Tubi. Check your local library, see if they get a copy of it. Heck, some libraries even let you request things and they'll buy it, and then you'll be first in line to watch it. So try it that way. I suggest this movie, but not for a theater viewing this week, unless it just happens to be right next to you. Parachute gets an 8 out of 11. My future friends, it's time for the pick of the week, so let's talk about it. The last nationwide release, a film that's been a buzz for a while now, and it's called Monkey Man. An anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systemically victimize the poor and powerless. This co-stars Sharto Kople from District 9, Pito Bash from Million Dollar Arm, Adithi Kalkunte from Hotel Mumbai, and stars the director and co-writer Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire. So you may have already heard of this movie. I know I heard about it long before it came out. A lot of people were stoked. Some of the people I follow, the other creators, and they saw early screenings of this movie and absolutely loved it. So what we have here is a violent movie. Something akin to John Wick, but instead of guns, it's fists. So we have Dev Patel playing this young man who grows up after witnessing his mom get murdered by some people in the local government. And he just trains and trains and trains and trains until he is a weapon. And what we have is a dark and bloody, violent movie, which I am here for. There is nothing in this trailer that did not look good. It looks like there's a backstory, and then we see how he gets to where he is right now, and then it goes straight into the action, and I love this. The thing, like movies like John Wick and Nobody and things like that, is that they're not just violent movies. There's more to it. There's an interesting story. Just watch this trailer for yourself and tell me that this does not look good. It even looks like there's one scene where we have Dev Patel running down some stairs and it's a first-person view, and then he gets hit and it looks like it knocks the camera out of him, which if that's what happens, that is really cool. So movies like John Wick, movies like this, look like they have more to offer. There's something else. There's a bigger story. It's violence, but there's art behind it somewhere. And I think that's a big selling point about a film like this. Because you can find a violent movie anywhere. You can find a hyper-violent movie anywhere. But the question is, what else does that violent or hyper-violent movie have to offer? And it looks like Monkey Man has a lot more. Monkey Man gets a 9 out of 11. Well, my friends, that's it for this episode. Thank you again for tuning in. And once again, if you are listening to this episode and it's not the week of the 5th, thank you, but just listen to the newest episode. Be sure to follow me on TikTok. I am still posting things on there. Go to my link tree, follow me in all the places applicable. Make sure to share this podcast with your friends. I would like to see some growth, especially because I'm getting back into it. And I think the show is better than ever now. I think I've really found my stride, especially after all these years. And I think the changes I made to the show only make it better. So once again, please share the show with your friends. But please, please remember that no matter where life takes you, no matter what your week has in store, just take some time to catch a flick. I'm Billiam from Somewhat Nerdy signing off, and I'll see you in the future.